Soon we shall be covered by wheat.
Did you say wheat?
Wheat.
Wheat. I'm dead. They're talking about wheat.
Oh, I love that clip. Gosh, we used that in like the first year of the show. That's from Love and Death, Woody Allen. One of my favorite movie clips of all time. Wheat, though, really is the headline in the Mississippi flooding story and the commodity story all over the globe. Louise Story is here, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
And we're happy to have you here on this talk show. You know, we'll try not to make it too
this
silly.
Comedy hour.
Yeah, this comedy hour, right?
Hey, don't include me, man.
But wheat, I mean, the Mississippi flooding and the fact that barge traffic actually came to a halt for a time and has slowed to a crawl as they try to regulate the barges through the narrow Merganza spillway area there. It's a huge export market for commodities. And it just points up this flooding, just how little margin for error there is in the commodities trade. When something like this happens, prices start to spike and the global ripples are everywhere. Explain the picture as you see it.
Absolutely, because, you know, 60% of the grains that are exported from the United States go through the Mississippi River. And so any blockage like the shutdown we had Tuesday night or even just the slower traffic now greatly affects the global economy. Here in the United States, we have tons of grain stockpiles. It's not being moved around as much in the Mississippi for Americans.
And our demand for grain often goes to the feeding of livestock as much as it does for the feeding of humans. Here's some stats. U.S. folks eat 177 pounds per person per year of wheat. In Tunisia, 478 pounds per person per year. So it is a huge export market.
So that is the key. So all this grain has to go through the Mississippi River to get to places like Egypt, to places in the Middle East. And that's because they eat so much grain over there, they can only produce about half as much as they need. And what goes on is that the government, the Egyptian government, the Tunisia government, they subsidize the cost of this wheat. So when these wheat prices spike, they spiked 17% yesterday, they're up 91% over the last year. It's going to the cost of the government because they're subsidizing it for their citizens.
And in some cases, the cost of that subsidy is paid for by U.S. aid in the case of Egypt and
Absolutely.
Certainly other places. So the U.S. is actually helping to finance those subsidies. Those subsidies come off, and instability is directly related to barge traffic on the Mississippi River.
Well, you can see how interconnected this all is because, you know, Egypt has asked for about $10 billion in aid. When you look at the jump in these wheat prices, it's about $1.7 billion of additional cost to Egypt from what they would have been paying for wheat a year ago. And so then they pass that through to an aid request. And the reason the United States and other global leaders help with aid, of course, is, you know, to be a good citizen, but also because disruption in the Middle East can affect oil prices. And then the oil prices affect all of us at the gas pump. So it's so interrelated.
And if these countries can't buy that grain, aside from the political instability, then you have issues of problems with the sales of the agricultural commodities. It comes right back to the farmers in the United States. And again, let's just remind people, you've got the winter wheat crop coming down the Mississippi from way up north.
Ohio.
Right. You've got the rice crop out of Arkansas, which is a huge 30% of the rice crop in the United States is on Arkansas farmland, much of which has actually been flooded and probably won't actually be in production this year.
That's right.
And then you've got the corn crop coming out of Iowa and
Georgia,
Illinois and Georgia. Exactly.
Lots of farms there. And what's interesting, actually, is that the Ohio farmers are really going to be hit very hard here because they're not going to be able to move their grains down the river. So they're going to have a bunch of crop that is just worthless. They can't sell it. People in the U.S. aren't going to buy it because we've got these stockpiles. But then the farmers down in Georgia, since there's these shortages, they'll be able to sell theirs for a lot. So depending on how far down the river you are, your luck will differ.
And I guess, you know, the question really is, does this fuel speculator trade in commodities? Because as we've spoken on this program in the past, you know, commodities have been a decent hedge because financial instruments have had so much trouble. People are parking money in commodities. You know, gold is one thing. Oil is one thing. But can you do that with wheat and corn?
Well, you know, commodities don't necessarily look so safe because the prices are just jumping up and down. You know, oil prices were so high and then they fell. So they're really more than just being high. They're volatile. What I'm hearing more and more from commodities traders is that they are looking very closely at weather patterns because the weather is so erratic and seems to be going more erratic everywhere. You know, we talk about the heavy rainfall and the flood, but, you know, another thing that's going on is in Texas, they're having a big drought. And Texas, we get 20% of the beef in America from Texas and 40% of our cotton. So there we've got a drought affecting the prices of beef and cotton. And so really the weather, the unpredictable weather, is driving so much of what we're paying for all over the world for food and commodities.
You know, the last two times you've been on the program, I've given you a question that stumped you, and it's been really rude, and it's a sign of just my bullying personality, which I try to keep under control. You can talk to my wife about that. But I have to say, I've got to change the subject again. Are you thinking of opening a movie studio over there at the New York Times? Sorkin's book now, a movie at HBO?
Well, you know,
all you guys have got business books.
You know, the business section, a lot of reporters have written great books. And, you know, the latest thing that's come out and been reported on is that my colleague Diana B. Henriquez, who wrote a book on
guest
Madoff.
On this show, yeah.
Yes, she has this new book out on Bernie Madoff, the Ponzi scheme king. And she's gotten a movie deal for that. So you're right. It's there's a lot of movies coming out and reaching readers in all formats.
You got to get to work on your book, Louise.
Well, maybe in a few years.
Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times, the business desk, which we call the Hollywood
movie studio
of Midtown Manhattan. Thank you very much, Louise.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.